This is regional news coverage from the KBIA newsroom. I'm Lucas Hudson. Republican challenger Todd Akin says he has topped $1 million in online donations for his campaign against Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill. Akin mounted an aggressive online fundraising drive in mid-August after losing the financial backing of some Republican groups because of his remarks about women's bodies having ways of avoiding pregnancy and what he described as, quote, legitimate rape. Akin has apologized repeatedly since then and has regained the support of some Republicans, but Akin acknowledges that he is being outspent substantially by McCaskill on TV ads across Missouri. Last week, McCaskill said she has raised $5.8 million from July through September. Akin has not yet released his quarterly fundraising figures. Those financial reports are due to the federal government October 15th. Once again, controversy surrounds the development of Aspen Heights. The student living complex is being built at the location of the old Regency Mobile Home Park. KBIA's Carlene Swan tells us how the development is facing scrutiny over trees on the property.
Aspen Heights broke ground earlier this year, but Osage Group Sierra Club Conservation Chair Ken Midkiff says the company violated a city ordinance. He says after a recent visit to the site, he believes the Aspen Heights developer, Crockett Development, did not preserve 25% of native trees. Crockett Development did not want to comment on air, but did state they have a tree preservation plan that was approved by the City of Columbia earlier this year. Midkiff has filed a request for a stop work order with the City of Columbia's Community Development.
The city was in an error in signing off on that plan.
Columbia City Arborist Chad Herwald says the city is reviewing the case. If the stop work order is approved, Midkiff says the developers must remedy the situation.
To mitigate this would be to plant some more trees. Of course, it'll be 50 or 60 years before they would achieve the same diameter breast height as the trees which were destroyed, but at least it's a start.
Midkiff says the city ordinance was originally put in place to help ensure developers were not harming wildlife habitat and resolve issues of stormwater runoff. Carlene Swan, KBIA News.
Rockbridge High School and Hickman High School have changed their homecoming tradition this year due to a big weekend for MU. KBIA's Alyssa Caruso has more.
Both Rockbridge and Hickman canceled their joint homecoming parade on October 13th. The schools expect a large crowd downtown because MU plays number one Alabama and continued construction on Broadway. Columbia Public Schools Superintendent Chris Belcher says safety of the students is the main reason for the cancellation.
Whenever I'm faced with a decision, if there are safety issues, I always consider that with top priorities. And with what was going on downtown and the construction, we just figured like that it was the right time to do this.
Belcher says there has been less attendance at the parade each year, and with Battle High School in the picture next fall, the tradition is bound to change. Students at both schools will still participate in their other homecoming events, in addition to MU's parade. Alyssa Caruso, KBIA News.
Democrat Susan Monty is starting her first TV ad in the Missouri Lieutenant Governor campaign. The ad focuses on advocating for military veterans and their families. Monty says veterans should be confident they will have a home, quality health care, and a job. Monty is a former state auditor who lost re-election in 2010. She's challenging Republican Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, who is seeking a third term. The four campuses of the University of Missouri system have joined a national movement to increase the number of college graduates by 2025. The university will be one of about 500 schools involved in Project Degree Completion. The schools agreed to improve access and diversity, as well as increase the number of students earning science, technology, engineering, or math-related degrees. Yesterday, the Columbia Daily Tribune reported the university already meets some of the program's goals. Last year's graduation rate was more than 70%, and enrollment has been growing at record levels for years. The MU system is also working on another goal of the program, which is to reduce the time it takes to earn a degree. A new app is being designed to combat partner abuse. A group of MU researchers hope to have a complete demonstration model of the One Love app by next spring. As KBIA's Elisa Lopez tells us, they already have completed a danger assessment quiz.
MU assistant professor at the School of Nursing, Tina Bloom, is working on the One Love app with other researchers at MU. She says they are trying to save the lives of women in abusive relationships. She says the impartiality of the app is important. That's something women sometimes can't find in their families and friends.
A phone, an app, a computer program, it doesn't judge you. You know, it doesn't tell you what to do. We don't tell women what to do with this app. We give them information and resources and let them decide for themselves.
The app is geared toward college-age women because research shows that one-third of women in the United States between the ages of 18 and 24 have suffered a violent relationship. The danger assessment quiz doesn't offer a version for men yet, but Bloom says there are plans for that.
And that report was from KBIA's Elisa Lopez. The Wiley House in Fulton will remain open after being scheduled to close its doors due to lack of funding. According to Wiley House Director Brad Shepard, there is a dire need for such a facility in Fulton. He says it attracts people from all over mid-Missouri. In August, the Wiley House provided shelter to roughly 9 homeless people every night. Warren Halra was previously employed by the Wiley House, but when it threatened to close its doors, he waived his salary and offered to volunteer.
It's my faith that God said to take care of the lesser, the homeless and the poor and other people, and so I'm willing to donate.
The future of the Wiley House will depend primarily on an emergency shelter grant given out by the Missouri Department of Social Services, which the Wiley House will apply for next year. Columbia's school board has voted to support a state ballot measure that would raise the state's cigarette tax, possibly bringing money to public schools. Proposition B is a proposed tobacco tax on November's ballot and would raise cigarette taxes. KBIA's India Everett has more.
Missouri is currently ranked 11 in smoking rates and has the lowest cigarette tax of any state. The proposed tax would move Missouri to 36th place in nationwide cigarette taxes, and some of the money collected would be used to fund public schools. Columbia School Board member Jonathan Sessions says the money would be appreciated, but he is more interested in the impact on smoking rates.
Evidence shows that this price increase could be a barrier to youth beginning smoking at such an early age. And that's my primary reason for being in support of Proposition B.
The school board approved the motion to officially be in favor of the bill by a vote of 7-1. School board president Tom Rose dissented, saying he felt there wasn't enough opportunity for public comment on the issue. Indy Everett, KBIA News.
Paganism is an umbrella term for different faith paths that are non-Judeo-Christian. KBIA's Kirsten Winrow has the story about how the 11th annual Pagan Pride Festival aimed to educate Mid-Missourians about paganism.
Music was heard throughout Rockbridge State Park as dozens of people came out to celebrate Pagan Pride. The festival, held each year, is an opportunity for pagans in Mid-Missouri to fellowship, network, educate the public about what the religion is, and to address misconceptions that the public may have.
We are out here to help people understand, again, what we are, what we're not, to give them an opportunity to ask questions that they might not otherwise get answered, and for people that are searching, maybe help them find a place that their spirit belongs.
In addition to education, the festival was a time for all communities, regardless of religion, to work together. Alfred Willowhawk says that all communities can help each other out.
We all have a lot to share with each other, that we all have strengths that can help support the community, both the pagan and the non-pagan community. And so the show that we're people like everybody else. We just happen to have a different set of faith beliefs.
Although many pagans are open about their faith today, that wasn't the case in past decades. Angel says that the festival allows and gives pagans the opportunity to be open about their faith.
I grew up here in Mid-Missouri, and not even 20 years ago, acceptance was far less than it is today. People were still very much afraid to be public about their faith. And it's our belief that no one should have to hide. And so we're now able to step out into the sunlight and enjoy each other more.
There are currently multiple thousands of pagans throughout the central Missouri area. Kirsten Winrow, KBIA News.
And for KBIA News, I'm Lucas Hudson.